very, very warm welcome to our worship this morning at St. Andrew's. And a warm welcome to you if you're watching at home or on the phone somewhere, going on a journey, whatever you are. It's great to have you present and worshipping together with us this morning. We've been thinking about the ways in which we as a church show something of the qualities and character of Jesus Christ. We are a church that is made in his image and reflects something of his life in the world. And this morning we're thinking about the way in which we are a grace-filled church, a church that is being transformed by God's grace and are channels of that grace in the world wherever we are. So it's a tremendously rich theme that we're exploring this morning. And we're just going to begin by just being still and recognizing the presence of this God who is with us now. The love that surrounds us, that each of us is held in the love, in the grace of God. Whatever our week has been, we are loved by God. Whatever we're feeling right now, we are loved by God. Whatever our fears might be for the future, we are still loved by God. So let's stand together and say these words, affirming why we're here. We gather in the name of God the Father, who is love. In the name of God the Son, who is love in action. In the name of God the Spirit, who is love in everyone. The presence and peace of the Holy Trinity be with us all. Amen. Some words from today's reading, one of the great epistles of St. Paul to the Corinthians. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So let's celebrate this amazing grace in which we stand.
And there are lots of instruments, and we've got two very lively songs to start with. So please come and grab something and make some noise.
Stronger, the King of Glory, the King of Glory.
pray that maybe the song of our hearts, the song of our lives, as we worship you today, as we worship you every day, that we may just sing, praise be to God, who is worthy of all our worship, worthy of all our praise, and worthy of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. We pray that we may be conscious of that presence every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do please be seated. Well, I'm thinking of this word grace. And you know, the thing that crossed my mind straight away when I started to think about grace was, I felt my tummy starting to rumble. I was thinking, whoa, I love to say grace before we have a meal. It's probably my favorite time is meal times. And I just wondered whether it was a time of great blessing for you as well. I know I have some favorite foods, but I wanted to show you on the screen one of my favorite people who absolutely loves chocolate ice cream. And do you know what he does? He stirs it round in his bowl. And this is Huxley, my grandson. And he just gobbles it down. One of my other grandsons is called Huxley, is called Henry. And he's rather more into beef burgers and chips and various things like that. Whereas my wife, she's vegetarian, but she eats lots of fish. So a tuna steak and some prawns on the top is just, But my favorite dinner of all, can you guess what it is? Anybody recognize what's in there? Christmas dinner. Yeah, absolutely, Christmas dinner. The sausages, those little, what are they called? Pigs in blankets? Oh, that's yummy. My favorite. And when we gather together sometime, when we have Christmas dinner with some of our family, we gather together with our hats on, and we have a great celebration. But we try to remember to say grace, and we use different words, a thank you prayer, in other words, before we eat. We just pause and say, thank you, Lord, for this lovely food. Thank you, we can be together and eat it. Saying thank you and recognizing that it's a gift of God is a special thing. And I expect some of you will say grace at home, or maybe some of the children will say grace at school. And Sean is just going to capture some of these different graces. We all have different songs or words. One of the great shortest graces somebody told me this morning was tarpa. I haven't heard that one before. But what about you? Who'd like to share a grace that you might say at a mealtime if you have? Your hand up if you'd like to do that. Sean will come to where you're sitting so we can all hear it.
This is actually one for after the meal. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Oh, very good, Heather. Very biblical. Psalm 103. Is it? No? Well, anyway, it's a great quote from Scripture. Anybody else has got a special type of words that you use for a grace? That would be great to hear.
Three, two, one, thank you for our fun. One, two, three, thank you for our tea.
Oh, that's a lovely one. Yes, that's a new one. I shall try that out this week. Thank you. One more?
Thank you for the water, sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Amen.
Oh, very good. Do you know that I was very interested to hear that one.
Put your fingers in your ears. Thank you, Lord, for the food that's before us. Thank you, Lord, it sure looks great. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that prepared it. We'll eat it up. We'll eat it up and leave a clean plate.
You Yeah, that's really imaginative. We got time for one more. No. Oh, that's all right. No, that's fine. You would just, go on then.
Bless this bunch as we munch our lunch.
Yeah, great. Well, these are all wonderful ways of saying grace. I'm always tempted to say, so let's say grace, to say grace. But the fact is that what we're doing with grace is we're recognizing God's generosity to us, his goodness to us, and his wanting to give to us so freely and so generously. It's so wonderful. It has a transforming effect, doesn't it? When you actually, instead of scoffing the food down as quickly as you can, you're pausing and remembering that this food is God's gift through his creation. All the wonderful things that we are privileged to be able to eat are a gift from God. And that transforms the way that we think about things. It transforms the way that we recognize that everything comes from God and that we are so grateful for that grace, that unconditional giving and loving that he shows us. And that's what we're celebrating today. So I'd like to pray for the children as you go to your different groups now, my young people, and to be able to have a time when you can recognize the love of God in a better and fuller way. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your goodness, your grace to us in Jesus. We pray that we may, as the children, young people go to their groups and their leaders, that they may be blessed with an awareness of how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So why don't the children and young people go to their groups now? And if you're with people that you don't know, just turn and face and say hi and introduce yourselves to somebody new, perhaps, as you do that. Okay, shall we all stand together then and as we continue with our worship in church? We come to recognize afresh of something new about who we are as a church and as God's church. We're going to do something that connects us with Christians all over the world, stating what we believe to be true of God. And so in these words of affirmation, if you'd like to say the words in the white, I'll then say the words in the yellow that unpack something of the nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say together, we believe in God, whose word calls us into being, whose breath brings us to life, and goes on breathing new life into all things. We believe in Jesus Christ, who was sent into the world and walks with us still, sharing our unknown journey. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls us on to truth and light, stirring within our being like the movement of music on the wind, dancing on before us and beckoning us into freedom and new life. So, Lord, we thank you that your word speaks to us afresh of the grace, the transforming grace that you have shown us in Jesus and that you still reveal to us today. May your Holy Spirit animate your living word and reveal Jesus to us. Bring us alive to a fresh vision of your grace and the power of your transforming love. Amen. You'd like to be seated then, and Sean is going to bring our reading, and then Helen is going to preach on that subject of transforming grace.
So the reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Do keep that passage from 2 Corinthians open, if you have it open, because we're going to be referring back to it at various points. So if you don't know me, my name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson. I'm, like Jo, I'm one of the retired clergy team here. So shall we pray as we look at this topic together? Lord Jesus, we ask that you will fill our hearts with your love and grace, that we may be better equipped to be your whole lifelong disciples. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week you may remember that we had we looked at what it means to be a loving family, and maybe if I turn this on it would help. Okay. Yes. And whether you watched online or you were here in person, you might remember that Dave asked everybody, what might a loving family do? And there were just some really insightful suggestions. Care for each other. Share their stuff. Spend time with one another. There through thick and thin. Have fun together. Eat together. Work through things that annoy us about one another. So that got me thinking, how can we do that in practice? Because it's not easy. This last one for me was the biggest challenge of all. Work through things that annoy us about one another. We'll come back to that one later. So in saying that we're a church, in claiming to be God's family, we are in theory, a loving community doing these things. But knowing what I'm like, how can this possibly be done? Where do we begin? Well, God has given us a way, and it's encapsulated in a single word, and that word is grace. Grace is God's means of enabling us to show his agape love in action. So what's this grace word all about? Well, when we're talking about grace, we're first and foremost talking about generosity. Grace is part of God's nature that he freely bestows on us. We can know his gracious favour, as Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians 1:11, at the end of this morning's reading. True generosity has no sense of obligation. It doesn't hold back, but lavishes all that is good, all that promises flourishing, all that promotes flourishing, on the one who receives it. Grace is reckless, self-giving love. Now, the parable of the sower in the Gospels is well known. And when I was at theological college, we were placed in small pastoral groups. And they were rather like life groups here. And one afternoon when we met, we were looking, as it so happened, at the parable of the sower in Luke's Gospel. And it begins, if you remember, with the farmer sowing his seed. He scatters it about, he throws it around all over the place, on the path, over rocks, into patches of weeds, and only some of the seed falls on good ground, where it flourishes. And as we read it, one person in the group, an international student, suddenly became quite animated. This, he said, was completely ridiculous. He had come from a country where rice was still planted by hand, and every seed was precious. You may be scattering your seed, but only a half-decent farmer would know to aim it carefully, not to scatter it any old place. Well, we had a wise and learned tutor. In fact, he was so learned that he'd actually written a whole commentary on Luke's Gospel. And he said to the student, "You've got it exactly right. What you've said would have been exactly the way in which Jesus' audience would have, at the time, received this parable. Seed was not sown in that way." So Jesus would have immediately have aroused their attention. What Jesus was emphasising here at the start of the parable is just how generous God is. And the sowing of the seed is the perfect, scattering of the seed is a perfect example of how grace operates. God scatters the seed of his word so it can include as many people as possible, to give everyone a chance, to offer all of us the benefit of the doubt, and to lavish his love so freely that whoever wants to can respond. So grace is, first of all, a generous gift. And secondly, grace is about being relational. So in our Bible reading today, Paul used the word grace as a greeting, as we looked at earlier, and opens his letter to the church of God in Corinth, describing the church as holy people or saints. In other words, a loving community, different in lifestyle from those around them, called to reflect God's love. And then he gives them a greeting to reflect their fellowship. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word grace was new, replacing the traditional greeting. Paul started all his letters to the churches with it, to remind his fellow Christians of their relationship, the relationship in God that they share with one another, and that they have an ability to connect with one another in a way that is acknowledging that that can only come as a gift received from God. And that relational aspect is key to grace. If you remember, at the beginning, Adam and Eve forgot the generosity of God. They pulled away from him. Their relationship with him and with each other was broken. And so in the end, it was God who comes searching for them in the garden, offering his gracious favour to start again. Where are you? God called as they hid from God in the cool of the day. And God graciously calls us into a relationship with him, and yet we hide. We avoid relating to God. Grace seems too easy a way to know this love. Will he accept us as we are? Well, yes, as we heard at the beginning of this morning's service. And how can we match this sort of grace in our relationships with others? And so this is where the third part of grace comes in, with an A for acceptance. I wonder whether you've caught this programme, The Traitors. Apart from the World Cup, this programme resulted in more young people signing up to BBC iPlayer than ever before. A group of people are stuck. I mean, the ratings for it were huge, completely not what the BBC expected. I thought it very interesting because they're setting up a community. And there's a group of people who are in this community or trying to get to know one another in this remote Scottish castle. And some of them are genuine and others are traitors. And as relationships develop, we see people trying to judge where people are coming from based on theories about one another's jobs, body language, and throwaway comments. Interestingly, the players are genuinely devastated to be suspected of being a traitor. They long to be accepted for who they are and to feel a part of the community. So one of them says, I've not come here to pretend to be anybody. I've come here to be who I am, to fit in, to be accepted. And it struck me, isn't that what everyone wants? Really, what this person needs is a loving church. They just don't know that church is the place where by God's grace we're accepted as we are, as we really are. So a loving church is a place where we accept God's gracious favour. We're accepted by God, and so we model this to one another, accepting each one of us for who we are and who he's made us to be. In fellowship with one another and with him, knowing we're accepted helps us to accept others in return. C is for commitment. Consider for a moment some of the people in the Bible who God accepted and to whom he was unswervingly committed through all their ups and downs. People who he formed relationships with and loved with a generous, gracious heart. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a deceiver and a cheat. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Abraham was old, too old, he thought, while Jeremiah and Timothy were regarded by others as being too young. Rahab was a prostitute. Isaac was a daydreamer. Moses was a murderer with a stutter. Gideon was afraid. Samson had a passion problem. Ruth was an ethnic outsider. Elijah got depressed. Jonah went on the run. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Jesus. The list could go on. In his grace, God accepted each one of these people as they were. And he stuck with them, even when they messed it up, so that they might continue in a journey of being transformed by his grace and learn to accept others too. And grace ends with E for everyone. Because God showed his wholehearted commitment to everyone in sending his son Jesus Christ to die for the whole human race, so that we too might be transformed by grace and be channels of his grace to others. No wonder Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. So how is this process of transformation going on in us? Well, this morning we have time to look at only three aspects of how this grace transformation takes place. Through troubles and suffering, through God's provision of grace growers, and through staying close to the cross. Paul begins his second letter to the Corinthian church talking about all sorts of sufferings and troubles. I hadn't realised until this last week just how much of 2 Corinthians is about Paul's difficulties. And that might be why throughout the letter he keeps on talking about grace so much. And so in chapter 1 verse 11 he says, in the midst of all of his troubles he experienced gracious favour. And how this changes everything. As he experienced grace, he learned to be gracious himself. So, for instance, in chapter 1, verse 3, he tells us that God is so committed to us that he is the Father of compassion and all comfort. By God's grace, he says, he receives comfort and learns to comfort others. Now, Justin Welby has spoken many times as when his seven-month-old daughter, Joanna, died 5 days after a car crash on their way back from France. I remember him once saying that it was a time of great grief and that he experienced great grace. As he called out to God using the cries of abandonment you find in the Psalms, his testimony was that he had never felt closer to God than at that time. He and his wife were moving from Paris to London. And Justin Welby speaks of how finding a church in which they were loved for both was for both of them instrumental in the healing process. In working it through, he said this at a carol service in 2015 for Child Bereavement UK. We came back eventually to that great puzzle that there is one child in the whole of human history who died, whose father could have done something and didn't, who could, with a mere exercise of will, have changed the world so it didn't happen. His beloved child, whom he sent, whom the angels announced, whom he sent to live this risky life, and who died unjustly some 30 years later, out of time, unfairly. And when we turn to that child and see in that child that there is hope and healing, we find a source of purpose, a source of going on that is so boundlessly deep, so extraordinarily puzzling sometimes, but so wonderfully embracing that in the dark moments and the light moments, we are held and comforted and carried, often unawares. We found over the years that this puzzle of the God that so loved the world that he gave his only son so that all who believe in him should not have that sense of endless death and destruction, but have the hope of life and the knowledge of the future and the life that is somehow rebuilt around us by the grace and love of God. It's not just the suffering in circumstances that grows God's grace in us. Other people constantly have a role in this. Which brings me back to that original thought from last week that families work through things that annoy us about one another. And at times we annoy one another without even noticing it. And in its most extreme form, it can be a result in persecution, exclusion, bullying, particularly when we aren't prepared to discuss things with grace. We need to keep the communication open. And there was a time in my life when a group at my church turned against me. And at its root, I think I'd annoyed somebody, but I didn't know what it was. But it started an open rebellion against me and spread to others in the leadership. All sorts of things were said against me. It was the most terrible time. I don't think I've spoken in public about it before. At the time, the future of the whole fellowship was at stake. And all I could do was take it to God. I remember endless nights when I couldn't sleep, and I could only pray using the voice of lament from the Psalms. One day, in the midst of all of this, I was looking through a book of artwork for a visual aid for something, and I came across this painting that's called Ecce Homo by Marizoni and Giovanni D'Enrico. Behold the man. Here is the man. And it suddenly hit me. They did it to him. Whatever people bring against you, Jesus always had it worse. Because he was innocent and I am not. In this crowd, some people are complicit. Some people are just don't know what's going on. They stand around, not sure what's happening. They don't understand. And then there are ringleaders. But they're just a few of my grace growers. I was in a time of learning, you see, as Paul did, that God says to us in the midst of the problems that we can't fix ourselves, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians, again, 12:9. Every time the situation could surface, I'd say, they did it to him. Jesus knows exactly how I feel. Well, the season did pass and things were resolved. And in fact, God gave us a picture of a phoenix rising from the ashes, and that was exactly what happened. The fellowship was reborn. But I learned that the place of the cross is the only place where suffering makes sense. Because the cross makes a way for us to know the grace of God. It's where grace is poured out unconditionally. It's the place where we see the generosity of God freely given. The G of grace, so that God can bring us back into relationship with us, with all his generosity. They are. His arms of acceptance are there to embrace us. He is committed to us so much that he even endured death on the cross. And he does this for everyone, for all of us, for you and for me. For all his sufferings and trials, Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians is that through it all, he grew in the grace of God. And he shared it with the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. As we know this grace for ourselves, we are gradually transformed that we might share God's great grace with one another in sacrificial agape love, so that we can care for each other, share our stuff, spend time with one another, be there through thick and thin, have fun together, hug, eat together, and have the grace to work through things that annoy us about one another.
you so much. It was it's very, very moving to hear from personal experience the way in which that grace of God is working its healing power. And I think for all of us, there's something there in what Helen had been saying that will have touched deeply. Just like us before musicians come to play, to have a moment of two or three minutes of silence so that we can just allow God to remind us of one thing that really has hit home this morning. If you just want to say thank you to God for, and to allow him to underline, as it were, or solidify in our lives. As we hold on to that which God has given us as gift of his grace this morning, let's stand together. As Helen was sharing how God always makes a way through the things that we experience. It's not always around it or over it or under it, but it's the learning of grace going through things. He is indeed a way maker, a promise keeper, a light in our darkness, because that's who he is. He's the God of grace, the God of all grace. And sing of that grace now.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
Sit or kneel or continue to stand as we worship. Please just feel free to do whatever you want and it's right for you. Just sing of this incredible, all-sufficient grace which meets us at a point of need and heals us in ways that are beyond our understanding. It's always enough. We don't need anything other than God's grace.
Just spirit make me new.
God is not something we just sing about, worship God for. It's something that his work causes to transform people's lives. Collins is going to share a moment of insight into how that can happen. I'd just like to be seated a moment.
I was just struck by those words. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. And I wanted to share an experience from a number of years ago in my family. My sister and my mother had a falling out, and for a number of years they didn't speak to each other. And the rest of the family were really praying about this, the healing of this relationship. And it just felt that nothing was getting through. Both parties were fairly entrenched in their position. And one day my sister, funny enough, around Mother's Day, decided that she would send my mother a Mother's Day card. And my mother responded by ringing her and starting that process of healing and reunification of their relationship. And it reminded me, as we sang, sometimes we can't see God working. Sometimes we don't feel that God's working. But I just sense there maybe there's somebody here who's saying, I don't see God touching my situation. I don't feel God in my situation. I haven't got the faith for that. And I just wanted to remind you, God is working. He will work. He will bring about that healing. And I just want to encourage you to stick in there and trust God. And if you would like to pray or to discuss that with me afterwards, I'd be more than happy to pray with you.
One of the things we can always do when we don't see God working is to continue to pray. And sometimes the simple prayer is to pray from the depths of your heart, Jesus. It's praying that Jesus and the grace of God through Jesus might work powerfully in ways that we can't see. When I came to this church, we sang quite a lot of that song, I Speak Jesus. And I thought, what does that really mean? And the more I've sung it and thought about it, it really does speak of the grace and the truth of God. Because Jesus, as St. John, was full, absolutely full of grace and truth. So I just want to invite us just to stay seated and maybe have our hands open and you know, prayerful attitude. And if there's a situation, as Colin described, he experienced, there's something that seems to be very, very stuck and unmovable. We might speak Jesus, meaning I speak his grace and truth into that situation, and I ask God to pray through me and into the mystery of life that something may be transformed in this moment and in these days and weeks ahead. So would you join me in doing that? Just think of one thing that you'd love to see Jesus moving by his grace in. Helen shared from her personal experience. I'm sure we all have different things we want to see transformed by grace. So let's sing this quietly as we work together in prayer for God.
Want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction. affliction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing and what you will do as we look to you with faith. Amen. Please do be seated. We are in a situation in this church where we're seeing God move and doing things by his grace which are quite extraordinary and exceptional. And one of the ways we see the Holy Spirit working is through the children's work and through the youth work. And as you may have heard or seen on the email postings, that we are looking and praying that God would bring people into releasing more of that life and fire among our children and our young people. And so there's need to equip and train and to develop people in further posts within the life of the church. And so I want us to be able to pray for this opportunity of administration and also an assistant for the children and families, for the right people to be involved in that. And also, the second thing I'd like us just to pray for in a moment and in the silence is the continuing fellowship and the sense of community that's happening among our younger people. Now, reading on the email that went out, I was intrigued to try and ask, what does a young adult look like? Am I a young adult? I feel it sometimes. Yeah, that's fine. But apparently it's up to 40. So, but I think some people could get away with 40 very easily, I'm sure. It'd be fine. So if you wanted to meet up, there's an opportunity to go down to the Bluebell on Friday at 7:30 and just get to know other people of your generation and build that fellowship. So please do go. Let's spend a moment just in quiet and bring those two areas in particular to God in prayer. We want to, Lord, pray that your life, your truth and grace may break into the areas that we want to pray for now. First of all, thinking of ourselves, our own situations, and then thinking of others in our prayers. So I invite you to use the words in the white to respond on the screen. As the dawn scatters the darkness, Lord, come with your transforming grace. Lord, we pray that our imaginations may be set free as we pray now. Into our emptiness, into our brokenness, into our loneliness, into our neediness, as the dawn scatters the darkness, Lord, come with your transforming grace. Into our busyness and our distractedness, into our anxiety and our unsettledness, as the dawn scatters the darkness, Lord, come with your transforming grace. Into our past and into our present, into our future with all its uncertainty, as the dawn scatters the darkness, Lord, come with your transforming grace. Let us bring others into the presence of God. For those in the headlines and all the forgotten, for those in the dark, in chains of despair, as the dawn scatters the darkness, Lord, come with your transforming grace. Into our world with all its confusion, cruelty and exploitation, in places of war and violence and conflict, as the dawn scatters the darkness, Lord, come with your transforming grace. In all our darkness, send us your light. Break forth the daylight. Banish the night. And as Jesus, our Saviour, taught us, so we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let's stand as we conclude our worship by singing a version of that great hymn by John Newton, Amazing Grace. So through the grace of God, we have been enabled to give to his work, to his kingdom. We are amazed, Lord, that every week some £3,000 is given to you for the work of this church. We praise you, Lord, for your abundant generosity to us, and that you release us to be grace givers through our offering. We dedicate this to you, Lord, for yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Amen. And so as we conclude this time of worship and move into the world that he has placed us in, let us say the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And please do, if you would like to receive prayer, Colin and Helen are here at the front. If you'd like to come and sit at the front or stand, then please do that before you leave today. Or just turn to people around you and just ask, would you pray for me? That would be wonderful. Thank you all. There's coffee and all sorts of other things in the hall.